नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing, Canto 3, Chapter 1, and we'll read 33 through 35. Yesterday we heard about Yuyudhana and about Akura, son of Shwapalka. And today we're going to hear about Devaki and Aniruddha and various sons of Krishna. Devaki is first. As the Vedas are the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, so the daughter of King Devaka Bhoja conceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, as did the mother of the Vedas. Is she, Devaki, doing well? Purport. The Vedas are full of transcendental knowledge and spiritual values. And thus Devaki, the mother of Lord Krishna, conceived the Lord in her womb as the personified meaning of the Vedas. There is no difference between the Vedas and the Lord. The Vedas aim at the understanding of the Lord, and the Lord is the Vedas personified. Devaki is compared to the meaningful Vedas, and the Lord is the purpose, and the Lord too, the purpose personified. So Vidura is inquiring about the well-being of Devaki, and she's being compared to the Vedas. The Vedas deliver knowledge of the personality of Godhead. The one of the conventional terms used to describe scripture is revealed scripture. The Bible is called like that, revealed scripture. In one sense that the scripture is revealed, in another sense God is revealed within the scripture. That's the intention. That's what it's supposed to be. So knowledge of God and God are non-different. In that sense, the Vedas are non-different from Krishna, because they're, who can reveal God except himself, or one who is empowered by God to do so, which is the same as God himself. Like in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this understanding is very clearly and very logically presented. Krishna says at the beginning of chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita, that nobody knows me. And it's in fact not possible for any created being to know what existed before they were created. Not possible. Unless that which existed before and was created discloses. Then it's possible. That thus revealed scripture. Then he hammers the point, saying the great sages, and before them the four great sages, and all the demigods, and all the rishis, and all the most learned persons, they don't know. Because you can't. Before you existed, what existed? On that basis, it's just common sense, but it's also scriptural authority. the efforts of science to speculate on the nature of existence before they existed is child's play. It's a useless waste of time, as Prabhupada would say. Because you can't know. They can say perhaps maybe. But that's not knowing. But rather than saying perhaps maybe, many times they say it was like this. And then you can blow the whistle and say, hey, foul play. It wasn't like this. You're speculating. It might have been like this. Perhaps maybe. I was attending a graduate, they call it, I forget the acronym, Indian Graduate Student Association, IGSA, at the University of Houston. And I was making a presentation on mysteries of the sacred universe, Sariputta's description of the structure of the universe. And they were interested very much in the subject matter. They would, you know, it wasn't like over their head, or because they're interested in theoretical stuff. So one of them said, questions and answers. He said, the modern scientists have calculated within a few milliseconds after the Big Bang what happened. But they can't go past those few milliseconds. But mathematically, they can describe what happened. And with that, there's, not getting too technical because I don't know the technicalities myself, but redshift, and you know, as light comes back from stars, a certain light frequency that can tell scientists, they think it can tell them, how fast the star is moving. So they can go back in time, take that mathematical calculation, the wavelength of red, and thus tell both the distance and the speed, and then do it in reverse. And, you know, and thus, you know, then this one, and then that one, and, you know, trace it back, and over a period of time, measure this, then again measure that, and take it back over time, and they get the Big Bang. So measurable, leaving aside whether, well, allowing for the fact that science keeps changing, this frequency means that speed, then later that frequency of light means a different speed, same frequency of light means a different speed because they supposedly are refining their science. Leaving aside that, there may be empirical evidence that collaborates the Vedic version. It's actually the other way around, that the Vedic version, by perhaps, maybe, by refinement, it gets closer and closer and closer and closer to the Vedic version. But it's still speculative. And what existed prior to that Big Bang? What was the primordial existence? That they do not know. Because it's not possible to know. Unless there's disclosure. So scripture discloses, I am like this. Where it's Krishna speaking, it's I am like this. And it's most other scriptures, almost all the other scriptures, maybe all other scriptures, it's third person, he is like this. And the person who is making that statement, if they're a qualified person, it's been disclosed to them. like Lord Brahma, or Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. She discloses to the world, Narayan is like this, because she's in direct contact, or the Kumaras, or Lord Shiva, and there is some Sampradaya, that there's direct disclosure. And that's the basis of scriptural knowledge of revealing God. So, the next verse speaks about Aniruddha will come back. Maybe he'll do it now. We'll come back. First, to stay with Devaki. Devaki is compared to the Vedas, where the Vedas disclose God. Devaki gave birth to the personality of Godhead. That's what's being said. The daughter of King Devaka Bhoja, her name was Devaki, she conceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, as did the mother of the demigods. The mother of the demigods is Deva Matuhu. Who's the mother of the demigods? Mother of the demigods, Aditi. And one of the children of Aditi was Vamana. So as Aditi gave birth to Vamana, Devaki gave birth to Krishna, and the Vedas give birth to knowledge of personality of Godhead, or they manifest knowledge of the personality of Godhead. What is that verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, the purpose of the Vedas is to know me? Vedaishta sarvair ahameva vedyo. Very good. So, 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna declares, the purpose of the Vedas is to know me. And I know the subject very well because I'm the compiler of the Vedas. Vedavid, Vedakrit. It's another way of saying, the reverse way of saying the same thing. The purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna. Krishna is the purpose of the Vedas. As this sentence is, Devaki is compared to the meaningful Vedas, and the Lord is their purpose personified. The purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna. Krishna is the purpose of the Vedas. Knowing Krishna is the purpose of the Vedas. So, how is Devaki doing? Is she faring well? She who has given birth to the personality of Godhead, like the Vedas, manifest knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Devaki is like, it's a perfect example of an instrument, because who can give birth to God? If one gives birth to God, then by material logic, then he or she who gives birth to God, they're older than God, or they're superior to God. They give rise to, but it's not, she gives birth to God. Once upon a time, God didn't exist, but Devaki existed, and then Devaki gave birth to God. But it's an instrument for manifesting in this world. She served Krishna in that way. Krishna gave her that service because she wanted that service. And she was qualified. And she underwent great Prishni and Sutapa, underwent extended years and years and years and years and years and years of austerity, simply to have as their son the personality of Godhead. or like, actually it was their desire, was like the personality of Godhead. When he appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, he said, actually there's nobody like me. I'm one of a kind. I appeared as Prishnigarbha and as Vamana, but I'm appearing in this form, showing you my forearm form, is not because there's nobody like me. I'm the personality of Godhead. But you want me as your son, so I'll appear as a small boy now. Now the next verse is about Aniruddha. Who is Aniruddha? Son of Krishna. Do you know who is the mother of Aniruddha? Which one of Krishna's wives? Who is the mother of Pradyumna? Rukmini. And so we have the Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva and Sankarshan, that's Krishna and Balaram, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So Aniruddha, may I inquire whether Aniruddha is doing well? He's the personality of Godhead, but he also asked about Krishna and Balaram. He is the fulfiller. So here's some list of his qualifications or special manifest, what he manifests very specifically. He who is the fulfiller of all the desires of the pure devotees and has been considered from yore to be the cause of the Rig Veda, the creator of the mind, and the fourth plenary expansion of Vishnu. Wow. That's Aniruddha. Purport. Adi Chaturbhuja, or the original expansions from Bhavdev, are Vasudev Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So Aniruddha is listed fourth. All of them are Vishnu Tattvas, or not different from the personality of Godhead. In the incarnation of Sri Ram, all these different expansions appeared for particular pastimes. Lord Ram is the original Vasudev, and his brothers were Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Aniruddha, that's the fourth. That's the first statement in the verse. And Aniruddha is called, is the cause of Mahavishnu. From whose breathing, Mahavishnu's breathing, the Rig Veda appeared. All this is nicely explained in the Markandeya Purana. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of Markandeya Purana that I could read from and disclose these details. But Aniruddha, there's prayers by Lord Shiva, the Prachetas, later on in the Bhagavatam. In the end of the fourth canto Bhagavatam, there is the sons of King Prajini Bari. They're called Prachetas. They were given some service by their father, who was a Prajapati. Basically, the service was, please help me in my Prajapati program. Help create good praja. That's the job of a Prajapati. So their answer was, yes, sir. And to qualify themselves, they didn't just run off and create praja. They qualified themselves to create good praja. So as they were preparing to enter into the sea, the ocean, to engage in austerities for 10,000 years of meditation underwater, because it was Satyuga, they were capable of doing that. We know that Sobari Muni, he did that, and sometimes they, you know, instead of going to a cave, they went underwater. You know, they can't cheat, they can't, you know, breathe underwater. So they just knew how to circulate their life air and sustain life in that way, underwater. No cheating. So they were ready to enter into the sea, and out from the sea came Lord Shiva with his followers. And he came right up to them and he said, "I'm very pleased with you. Because of your mood of cooperation amongst one another and your submission unto your father. See, for these nice qualities I come before you, which is very rare to achieve. And not only that, I want to give you something. I want to give you the very prayers that I recite, stotras, that I recite to achieve spiritual perfection. So while you're underwater doing meditation, qualifying yourselves for purification, you can become God-realized at the same time. And upon whom does Lord Shiva meditate?" Answer is Aniruddha. And it's in his prayers, you can read in the fourth canto, Lord Shiva describes the Chaturvyuha, but it's Aniruddha. And Aniruddha is the expansion, from Aniruddha comes the expansion of Mahavishnu. And, of course, from the expansion of Mahavishnu comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So Lord Shiva is meditating on the Lord of the Heart, as yogis do, but he's specifically meditating on Aniruddha, who's the source of Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. The Lord in the spiritual realm, not just the Lord who is within the heart of living entities in this realm. He meditates on Aniruddha. And aside from being the source of Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu is the source of the Rig Veda, because it's described within the Vedas that the breathing of the personality of Godhead manifests the Vedas. Commonly it's said the breathing of Lord Narayan manifests the Vedas. Here specifically, with reference to Markandeya Purana, that Mahavishnu breathes the Rig Veda. That's quality breathing. It's really special. And not only in the Markandeya Purana in detail, it's here mentioned in the Bhagavata Purana in brief. And has been considered from yore, just that's a old English term, from long ago, from a long time ago. So from the Puranas are descriptions from yore, the histories of prior existences. And Aniruddha is the cause of Mahavishnu, from whose breathing the Rig Veda appeared. This is nicely explained in the Markandeya Purana. In the incarnation of Lord Krishna, Aniruddha appeared as the son of the Lord. Lord Krishna in Dwarka is the Vasudeva expansion of the original group. The original Lord Krishna never leaves Goloka Vrindavan. He also never leaves Gokula Vrindavan, because Gokula and Goloka are not different. Although it appears that Krishna leaves Vrindavan. It appears that Krishna enters Vrindavan. But the statement is Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, nor does he enter Vrindavan. He's eternally in his abode. Here's a description that underlines that statement. When Vasudeva was requested by his son Krishna to be taken from the prison house of Kamsa to the side of Mother Yashoda, how was that enacted? Krishna said, "Don't worry about the guards. They'll be fast asleep by my yoga maya potency. And don't worry about the shackles on your arm. They'll fall off. And don't worry about the locks on the door. They'll become unlocked. And don't worry about the storm at crossing the river Jamuna, because Anantashesh will take care of protecting me. So he was carrying Krishna in a crib or a little basket. And, you know, this is a child that's just a few hours old from material standard. So as he was crossing the river Jamuna, big wave came and Krishna fell out of the basket into the river Jamuna. Could you imagine being a father and having your son fall into the river? He panicked and began looking for Krishna. Then he found Krishna. According to our acharyas, the Vasudev Krishna was exchanged for the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, because the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And so when he went to the side of Mother Yashoda, that form that he was carrying in his arm was merged with the body, the transcendental body of the original personality of Godhead, because according, you read carefully in the commentary of the 10th canto, two children were born of Mother Yashoda. One of them was Krishna. So he placed Krishna, that Krishna who he was carrying merged with the personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, and the second child that was born was Yogamaya, and he carried Yogamaya back to the prison house of Kamsa. So then Krishna's leaving Vrindavan 12 years later. Akura comes. And Akura's got Krishna and Balarama at his chariot, and he's heading for Mathura. Didn't take him all day this time. Krishna asked, before we leave, I'd like to take bath in the river Jamuna. So he takes bath with Balarama, comes back to the chariot. Akura asks permission, may I take bath in the river Jamuna too? And when he goes to the river Jamuna, what does he see? He sees Lord Vishnu and Anantashesh resting, reclining, sporting, enjoying in the river Jamuna. And he's astounded. So he goes back to the chariot. He sees Krishna and Balaram. He sees Krishna and Balaram in the river, goes back and sees Krishna and Balaram, goes back, and then he sees Vishnu and Anantashesh. But Krishna stayed in Vrindavan. Krishna never left Vrindavan. Krishna never entered Vrindavan. He's eternal. So he just manifested himself, and then apparently demanifested himself, withdrew himself, withdrew his presence. But it's described he entered into the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. But expansions of Krishna, who are of the same category, Vishnu Tattva, but Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Prabhupada writes, the original Lord Krishna never leaves Goloka Vrindavan. All the plenary expansions are one and the same Vishnu Tattva, and there's no difference in their potency. So it's a little bit high technology, but there is one original personality of Godhead from whom many expansions come. Ramadi Murti Shakala Niyamena Tishtan Nana Avataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavak Paramak Pamanyo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajam. Innumerable expansions, as many as waves in the ocean. How many waves are in the ocean? Who can count the waves in the ocean? Count, and then there's more waves. It's innumerable. each of those expansions are of the same potency as Krishna. And Aniruddha is one of those expansions, who's of the same potency as Krishna. And the functions of Aniruddha are mentioned. He's the fourth of the Chaturvyuha. He's the fulfiller of the desires of the pure devotees. For that matter, as his expansion, Mahavishnu, then in turn Paramatma, he's the fulfiller of the desires of all living entities. What to speak of the pure devotees? But the pure devotees, their senses are fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. They're like locked in with no key, no escape. They don't want to escape. They're fully under the control of the Personality of Godhead. And he's the source of the Rig Veda. Now more explicitly, he's the source of Mahavishnu, who is the source of the Rig Veda. But he's the source of the Rig Veda. He's the creator of the mind. What's that all about? The Aniruddha is the Lord of the mind. Take it in a further extension, the yogis meditate upon Paramatma. The Paramatma is an expansion of Garbhadaksha Vishnu, is an expansion of Mahavishnu, is an expansion of Aniruddha. He's the Lord of the mind. That's in those prayers, the Prachetas prayers given to them by Lord Shiva, who is exhibiting his Vaishnava mood in relation to the Prachetas. And as a result, somewhere during the 10,000 years of meditation underwater, Lord Vishnu comes riding at the back of Garuda underwater. Garuda can fly in the air and Garuda can fly in the water. Very mystical. And the Lord spoke to them and they spoke to the Lord underwater. There's beautiful prayers to Lord Vishnu. And we'll end with text 35. O sober one, Vidura's addressing Uddhava, O sober one, others such as Hridika, Charudeshna, Gada, do those names mean anything to you? They're also sons of Krishna. Charudeshna, Hridika, Gada, and the son of Satyabhama, he remains unnamed. Which one is he? Son of Satyabhama. Each of them had 10 sons, so without mentioning the name, there's no purport to this, but Prabhupada hasn't, in the word for word, said which of the sons. Just Satya, Atmaja, the son of Satyabhama. And all of them accept Lord Krishna as the soul of the self and follow his path without deviation. Are they well? Again, he knows they're gone. Are they well? And so the qualification that's specifically mentioned of the sons of Krishna is that they accepted Krishna as the soul of the self and were fully surrendered to him. Just like in Nectar of Devotion, speaking about Pradyumna personifying the mood of service, although he's Vishnu Tattva, he was in the role of Krishna's son. And so the mood of service is exemplified by him in the following way. If Pradyumna wanted to do something and Krishna didn't want him to do that something, he wouldn't do that something. And if Pradyumna didn't want to do something and Krishna wanted him to do something, he would do that something. No second thought. No whining and complaining. Oh, I don't want to do that. Why do I have to do that? Oh, Krishna, why are you doing this? Why are you having me do this thing I don't want to do? No whining and complaining. Just service. Because he and the other sons of Krishna accepted Krishna as the soul of the self. Interesting term, like the heart of hearts. He's the ruler of one's heart. And if Krishna wants, that's it. No further thought, no hesitation, no further deliberation. Krishna wants, that's it. That was the position and the qualification of the sons of Krishna. Being appreciated here by Vidura in the Bhagavatam. Okay. And there, and see if there's some discussion. I'm thinking maybe this evening we'll have a little talk about Varaha. Varaha's appearance day. Any comments or questions on what we covered this morning? I don't know. I was hoping one of you would know. I'll look it up. Any other question? Yes?
Would the descendant succession from Lord Shiva, does it still exist?
Yes. Yes. It's not prominent, but it exists. Anything else? Yes. What should you do with it? I'm not saying. How are you to ingest it? How are you to like internalize that message? How do you apply it? Throw away the material conceptions where it says this is just a book. And it's Krishna. It's like the deity form. The material conception is wood or stone or metal. Representing something. Throw away its conception and it's Krishna appearing in that form. To accept our service very mercifully. Because we don't have the eyes to see spirit, so he makes himself visible. And that's deity, or the name is not different than Krishna. But it's just sound. How is that sound anything different than another sound? Because it's not different than Krishna. So, you know, what is this? From a material point of view, it's trees just modified, and it's minerals, and it's cotton, and pigments. And you worship trees and minerals and cotton and pigments? What's wrong with you people? But that's, you know, from a material point of view, that's what it is. And what makes this any different than another book? So it's how you apply it practically is regard the scripture as Krishna. And the message of the scripture is Krishna. It's Krishna speaking or others speaking about Krishna. It's Krishna Katha. The effect is altogether different. The sacred sounds are sacred sounds. Shabda Brahman is Shabda Brahman. Those that don't have a personal conception may have other sounds, like in Buddhism, some gong. Hong. And you know, that sound helps them to fix their consciousness apart from the material elements and attachment to them. It's part of their ritual. But that's, you know, a sacred sound in a different way. Impersonal or voidistic. These are sacred sounds recorded and presented in the scripture. So the Vedas, previous to cotton, you know, trees, and minerals, and pigments, it was just sound. And that sound vibration is different than any other sound. And if one has proper regard for that sound, then you can be a better receiver for that sound, or of that sound. And then, you know, the Devaki as being regarded by Vidura in a way that we should regard Devaki and the Vedas, mother of Krishna. She who discloses Krishna. And Krishna is the subject personified. Anything else? Yes?
The
sons of King Prajinibari were called the Prachetas.
Just by their cooperation and
submission to their father.
Submission to the father. Lord Shiva became so much pleased that to the point that he revealed his own prayers to them.
Yeah.
So his qualities are, I mean, that was just amazing that his qualities are so powerful.
Yeah. Just like Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the following qualities please me very much. And he identifies the qualities. And when Krishna is very pleased, what else can, there's nothing else. That's perfection. You've pleased Krishna. One who has pleased Krishna has everything. That's everything is pleasing Krishna. It's not a mercantile kind of have everything. They're very important, having qualities. Good qualities. Vaishnava qualities. Very important. Does that address your... You're just making a comment more than making a question. They're very important. Saying the same thing in a different way, Prabhupada spoke of education as development of character. The most important part of education is development of character. And Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 13, where Arjuna is asking, what is jnanam and gyanam? Knowledge and the object. Krishna is the object of knowledge. And what is knowledge? Knowledge is various qualities. Read the list. They're qualities. But Krishna calls it knowledge. Because when you have those qualities, you please Krishna. And you please Krishna, you have all knowledge. You don't have those qualities, you don't have knowledge. You may have speculation, but you don't have knowledge. Very important, yes. So the next question is, where do you get them? Where do you get those qualities? Kmart? Corner store? At the university? Where, who sells them? And what's the price to buy some of them? They're not a material commodity. They're decorations that Krishna provides upon the person or within the character of one who is fully surrendered unto Him and His pure devotee representative. We covered this yesterday. Mayi chananya yogina bhakti ravya vicharini and acharya upasana. These two are the channel through which the other qualities come. We were speaking about pride and pridelessness. How to overcome pride if you have some opulence. Is your question? Pride from having some opulence. You understand it? It's Krishna's. Krishna gave it. Krishna can take it away. It's Krishna's. And it's meant for His service. So in the humble mood, I serve Krishna with this, whatever He gives me. There is that description. Here there's this description. When I was in Dallas, there was a description of the Matsya avatar. And Prabhupada makes reference to the Krishna Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, where he discusses elaborately about Matsya avatar. And in that discussion about Matsya avatar, there is disagreement amongst the acharyas based upon scriptural authority. One is that there's a partial inundation, a partial annihilation after each Manu, and they give their scriptural reference. And there's another that says no, it's only twice during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu and at the end of the reign of Chakshusha Manu, and they give their scriptural reference. So how do we deal with that? There's apparent contradiction. Or you can go, up higher and say, in the Matsya avatar, this is again from the Krishna Sandarbha, that in the Canto 1, Chapter 3 description of Matsya, it speaks of the Matsya that appears in the Chakshusha Manu. And Canto 2, Chapter 7, it speaks of the Matsya that appears in the Swayambhuva Manu period. And it's a different description. So one looks at those different descriptions and goes, this is different than that. And it's in the same book, Bhagavatam. What's going on? Or, so when there is discrepancy, a simple way to look at discrepancy, in this case I don't have the answer, is two things. There may very well be a further explanation that we have not heard from our realized acharyas, that reconciles what appears to be, very clearly appears to be, a contradiction. But there's an explanation that reconciles in such a way it's clear it's not a contradiction. Or a second approach is that Srila Prabhupada has said, in spiritual circles, on the level of spiritual perfection, difference of opinion is allowed. It's not that they're, you know, one is rowing this way and the other is rowing that way and there's some conflict. The conclusion is the personality of Godhead is the absolute truth. And there's some detail in understanding how it is that we are to reach that conclusion. The personality of Godhead is the absolute truth. Here's this statement from Markandeya Purana. Here's another statement found in some other scripture. They're saying two different things. Differences of opinion. I thought there shouldn't be difference of opinion. But there's difference of opinion. You know, Nanda Maharaj, when Krishna was in the coils of the Kaliya serpent, Nanda Maharaj told Mother Jasoda, "You just stay here with these arms. I'll take care of Kaliya." And Mother Jasoda said, "No, no, I can't stay here. Krishna's in difficulty. I must go." In a difference of opinion. What's the right thing to do? Or after Nanda Maharaj was kidnapped by the devotees of Varuna, Krishna, he was taken to the Varuna's kingdom. Krishna and Balaram came, and then Nanda saw Krishna was being worshipped by Varuna. When he got back to Nandagram, he sat his assembly of elders down, and they began, you know, wondering, who is this Krishna? Anyway, look what I saw. Here's what I saw. The demigod Varuna was worshipping my little boy. Who is he? And some said this, and some said that, and some said another thing. But they're pure devotees. And they have a difference of opinion. It's okay. And that's on the highest transcendental platform, but that's what we're speaking about. On the highest transcendental platform, there may be differences of opinion. It's allowed. Where acharyas have differences of opinion, or our scriptures. Now, what do? We're these little guys just trying to, you know, like, stay on the path of bhakti. Not fall off the path of bhakti. So that our faith, the Madhyama Adhikari has firm faith, and they may not be Uttama Adhikaris that have complete understanding of all, everything that exists on the authority of scripture. But they base their faith on the degree of purity that they have and the realization that they have and so forth. That's the Madhyama Adhikari. The Kanishtha Adhikari, their faith is soft and pliable. Any little thing, you know, oh, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. Here's a speculation that Aniruddha expands from Sankarsan, and from Aniruddha comes Mahavishnu. So it's also okay to say Mahavishnu comes from Sankarsan. But I don't know any direct scriptural authority that says that, but you know, logically it makes sense. But logic isn't the basis of our, you know, conclusions of scripture. It's on the authority of, for our perfected acharyas. We're dependent completely upon them. Be patient. In the course of time, that little will become disclosed, and you won't be barred from going back to Godhead if you don't know that detail. Why does it say this there and that there? I'm sorry, you can't enter Vaikuntha. You can't enter the spiritual world until you have that answer. You can wait outside. Qualification is pure devotion. And these things simply help us appreciate signs of Krishna, which we have not yet mastered fully. From Sankarshan comes the whole of the Chaturvyuha. From one of the Chaturvyuha comes Mahavishnu. So from Sankarshan comes the Purusha Avatars. Which are which?
The individual soul.
Yeah, the individual soul and the Lord are both eternal.
So what does it mean that the Lord existed before the...
And no, it's the Lord existed before the bodies existed. Before we took birth. Before we were born. So souls aren't born. The bodies are born. Before we were born, what existed? Well, the soul existed. But what, in what condition did the soul exist, and where from does the soul come? We don't know unless it's disclosed. So scripture discloses. And that's what, that's the build up, is Krishna is going to say, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartite. Everything comes from me. Okay. Okay. See the Prabhupada ki jaya.